Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master in the studio, Bill the producer, also Bubble Boy. We sometimes call him Hemi.
Hola, Greg.
Yes. And
Greg, you're so right.
And, well, okay. How can I argue with that, Bill?
Hi, Greg.
Don't do that. That's Bill, just disturbing.
Bill the seducer.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's why we amend our crew,
Greg,
with folks via the web.
You are the best diver master ever.
This week we have Casey, our buddy Casey. How are you, buddy? Welcome.
Good.
Casey's working on his captain's license.
Casey, you are the best captains ever.
Listening to the world of boating.
I'll take that as a compliment.
You're planning to get your captain's license so you can run some dive trips off the west coast of Florida, right, Casey? That's the plan?
That's what I'm planning on. Yeah, I'm finishing up at sea school in February, and then I'll have my OUPV, and of course, Captain said to go for the upgrade, so I'll look into that.
But okay.
Yeah, I want to just run a couple people out, take them to some dive sites that the big groups don't routinely go to, so they'll see a little prettier reef.
Like a little six-pack operation type of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you already have a boat. Is that the case or no?
Yes, I already have a boat.
So it's
equipped. And it already holds tanks.
Yeah.
And it floats and everything.
Can you do six divers easy on this boat? What kind of boat is it?
Yeah, I can't do six divers. I'm looking more comfortable of a couple.
Oh,
two
okay.
Plus me.
Well, how big is the
That'd
boat?
Give us plenty of room for a two-tank dive, and I could go about any place we want to go.
Yeah? How big? Well, yeah, how big of a boat are we talking? What is it?
It's 20 foot.
Okay, 20 foot. All right, so it's
20 foot center console. It's a bay boat.
Got it. Kind of like Barry's boat down in South Florida. You think, Bill? That's what it sounds like to me. Maybe a little bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah, Barry has a 18-footer, 17.5. So, you know,
surprise.
You get the surprise. Center console
surprise.
Is what he has.
Yeah, that's it exactly.
Okay, so that's what you have. Okay, so that'll be fun to head out there on the West Coast, do some boating, do a little diving. Have you been out there doing much diving, Casey, or no?
I haven't been doing a lot since I talked to you at the dive show. I've had the wonderful experience of having my right shoulder replaced with titanium.
Well, that's cool. That'll impress
you. Yeah, I was real excited about it. You know, happy birthday and Merry Christmas.
Yeah,
here's your gift.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I didn't mean necessarily have you dove, you know, like in the last few weeks. I mean, have you dove off the West Coast much before at
all? There's actually quite a few artificial reefs off the West Coast, Tampa going north.
You got to go fairly.
From bridge rubble to old tanks.
You got to go fairly far offshore, though, in the Gulf there off the coast of Florida to get to some of the dive sites, don't you? Or are they closer?
No. Some of the dive sites are as little as 20 feet of water.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean, to get depth, because it goes off very gradual off the west coast of Florida as far as the dive sites. That's what I've been told. I haven't done really any diving over there. It's a very popular.
It's fairly shallow. You get to about 5, 10 miles, and you're in 60, 70 feet of water, and then out past that, you get into the flower gardens and the real depth.
Right. But it goes off so gradual. You got to go, you know, a bit offshore to get to some depth And that's been one of the hindrances for me. You know, I have a tendency to head over to the East Coast, dive down in South Florida.
Well, you can walk into the ocean.
Literally, it's like, the Gulf Stream's like a mile and a half, 2 miles offshore or something in certain places down there.
Yeah, you can swim out to the first set of reefs off West Park.
So a little more convenient maybe for our folks in Orlando. But I've heard good things as far as the spearfishing and lobstering and like you said, the wrecks there off of the West Coast. So you've done a little bit of that or not so much yet? Because you just
a little bit of it.
Yeah, you relocated there a few years ago, and you haven't done a lot of diving yet, have you? Or have
no,
you?
I picked up this boat about a year ago, so I've been out about half a dozen times, I guess, doing lionfish hunting mostly.
Yeah, well, lionfish hunting can be fun. Also, you know, you have the shark teeth thing you could do over there.
Venice Beach full of shark teeth, sure.
Absolutely, but you take your little boat. You got the perfect boat for that, because if you go about a half a mile to a mile offshore off of Venice Beach, you can do some serious shark teeth finding.
Oh yeah, and you're off. You're enough depth where scuba is necessary.
Yeah, it's just enough where you get all the hobbyists off on the beach and in the snorkeling, and you get off in the areas where you have to be a diver. And I found a real nice megalodon shark teeth over there. So we could come over there and help you find some of those. How about that?
Sure. We can make a day of hunting shark teeth and then selling them for big bucks.
Big bucks. I'm telling you, at least like a dollar or two. I don't know.
Cash on the barrel head, buddy.
Yeah, I don't know. Those things are so popular now. I'm not so sure you're getting big bucks for them anymore. Jerry the diver guy would know because he's up in the mountains of Virginia where they find them or nearby. Aren't you, Jerry? Don't you find those things all over? Laying around there, where, in the streams, when you're brewing some spring water in the mountains there, you look down and find a megalodon shark tooth, or no?
No, that's bear teeth.
Oh, it's bear teeth you find. Okay. Well, and they're worthless, too, or are they worth money? I don't know.
They're worthless.
They're worthless. Okay.
Not to a bear.
Yes, maybe.
Just saying.
Do bear's teeth usually have something on them? Is that why they're special if they're bear?
Jerry's butt, maybe.
No,
bear. Butt meat.
Bear. He's, my butt. He's, yeah. This is homophone humor.
It's what?
Homophone humor. Two words that sound the same. Bear and bear.
Don't be a homophobe. Anyway, we did get some viewer mail this week. Let me read this to you.
Viewer mail!
I'm a big fan of Scuba Radio and listen to it frequently, especially the podcast replays. I'm also a scuba instructor in Tallahassee, although there are no paddy dive shops in the area right now, which is a shame. That's really a shame.
It makes no sense to me.
Hard to believe.
Yeah. So he's not actively teaching and he misses it. However, he likes Jerry the Diver Guy. He's one of his friends on Facebook. He cracks me up. How about that? Jerry got fan mail. Woohoo! Put that in his file.
And he has crumbled up the paper, and we will never speak of this again.
You should frame that. That's my only fan.
Well, it's in your file, man.
And he can probably communicate with you on Facebook. If you guys love each other so much, why don't you just keep it off the air? This is not radio for one.
No, that is. I appreciate that. And Jerry cracks us up, too, doesn't he, Bill? Come on.
Actually, he does.
He's a great guy. He's a dive instructor in the mountains of Virginia, and has his own fan base now. I love this.
He's got his own fan base of a dive instructor that can't teach diving because there's no one that teaches his certification system in his area. That's a fantastic fan base.
What?
My recommendation would be to open a new store.
Yeah, he could.
There it is.
Jerry the Diver Guy could go to Tallahassee and open up a store there.
Mountain Divers 2.
Franchise.
Mountain Divers.
No,
too.
It would be Valley Divers.
Dismount Divers.
Okay, well, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. I can't believe Tallahassee doesn't have a paddy dive center, though. That's kind of, that
can't
seems
either.
Off. I mean, maybe it's the university. FSU has a dive program there. Maybe that's what, I bet you that's what's going on in Tallahassee, because I'm pretty certain they do have some diving up there. But I don't know. We'll do some digging on that. Or maybe this is a business opportunity for a dive instructor to open up a new arm, whether it's, Jerry the Diver Guy's Mountain Divers 2 or Valley Divers. Maybe that's what you need, Mountain Divers
or
Valley
Divers. I would be happy, Greg, for a small fee to go up there and be paid to help somebody open a shop they would love to own.
Jerry?
Hey, wait. I'm selling franchise out right now.
There you go. It'd be Jerry the Diver Guy 2. Casey, or we could call, I don't know, Casey the Diver.
Jerry Diver Guy, the Emporium.
Mm-hmm. Well, Casey the Diver Guy. There's Jerry the Diver Guy and Casey the Diver Guy.
It's not a franchise if you change the name every time. This is not a Big Boys.
Well, says you. You don't own it.
Oh, it could be Casey's Mountain Divers. There it is. Now it is. Now it is like a Big Boys.
Casey Mountain Divers.
Casey's Mountain Divers.
Not a lot of mountains in Tallahassee, but anyway, we get the gist.
Well, yeah. Mountain is spelled M-O...
Mountain. Casey's Mountain Divers.
He's mounting.
Don't forget your snorkel.
Yeah, this is a bad sign. If it's starting this way at the beginning of the show, hopefully there's only one way to go.
Go deeper from here.
Deeper? Maybe.
Oh, there is already a Mountain Divers.
Of course.
It's in San Francisco.
Hey.
Who knew?
We'll be here for the next hour and 45 minutes, and we apologize in advance.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network. Surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
This is better than porn. It's like porn and Shark Week combined.
He's got no legs to kick it with. And he's got no arms to swim with. But nonetheless, he is a scuba diver man. And he's doing the best he can.
Scuba diver man. Doing the best he can.
Scuba diver man.
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 His brain ain't right, but it's fun.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. And I got some viewer mail here still.
Take it, Scooby-Doo.
Oh, okay. And just a little shout-out to my friend Jeff Nadler. Just retired from his full-time position at Patty. And, you know, he was there when I got my dive instructor there.
You know what? If this guy in Tallahassee is looking for a Patty job, now we know there's one open.
Well, I don't know. I think he just retired his position. He's still going to be consulting for them. So I think I'm not so sure.
You think they're just saving money? They're just saving money.
I think, you know, he's went so far up the food chain in the dive industry world that he just kind of went into a consulting mode.
I understand.
You know what I'm saying? So, but hats off to Jeff and his retirement there. He's a great wildlife photographer, too, by the way.
Oh, nice.
And but like I said, had a big part to do or a big thing. You know, he was one of the examiners when I got my dive instructor certification. Many, many years ago, and I have always appreciated that, as you would always remember your dive instructor. You remember yours, right, Bill?
I absolutely do.
Who was that?
You know what? You say that. I
I knew it.
His name is Dave. I can't remember his last name.
Dave's not here.
Yeah, Dave. I know where his house is. He used to drive down Winter Springs Road every time. I said, Dave's house is down there. That's where I did my training. First in a pool, and of course, I did my open water stuff at Blue Springs during a tropical storm.
Well, you were lucky, Bill. My instructor was certifiable.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is absolutely the case. There are no two ways
about
it.
What was his name? Dave, I think.
I can't remember.
That's what I remember. Anyways, moving on before I make myself look any worse. I got some things here from Dives Alert Network that actually applies to training. And these are five emergency tips for emergency prevention. You know, if you're working with your students. Now, you know, Casey is a dive instructor. I don't know. Are you still active, Casey, or no?
I'm not active. I have some friends that I've referred, and I'll go to the pool and do some pool work with them, but I'm not actually their instructor.
Got it. All right. Well, Jerry the Diver Guy is, and, you know, Casey has the certification. He's just not actively teaching right now. But these five tips from Divers Alert Network are actually, you know, for dive instructors to, you know, share with their students or keep in mind to kind of, you know, make them better divers. So whether you're a dive instructor or not, I think you can appreciate some of these little tidbits that you may hear from your dive instructor if they were to read this little notice as well from Dan. Okay, number one, mental or physical and mental fitness. This is something that, you know, Bubble Boy, I stress to you and CJ, who are my students. I might as well take credit for them now. But it's important for you to be physically and mentally fit to dive. You know, I'm not necessarily the best example of that on the mental side of things, Bill. But, you know, it is important.
Can I get an amen?
Hey.
Hey, we're certainly physical specimens.
All right. Yeah, everybody didn't have to chime in like that. That wasn't really necessary, but I was just pointing that out as you know, a little humility.
But we love you.
Yeah. Okay. All right. But the thing is you do need to be physically fit to dive. And the more physically fit you are, not only the safer you will be, but the more you will enjoy the dive itself because you won't be stressing yourself at all. You'll be up for it. I mean, one of the biggest statistics that seems to be has gone up over the last several years or probably on the biggest, you know, bell curve increase of problems with people diving is their fitness, you know, heart attacks, things like that. It's not necessarily the dive accidents themselves. It's people being out of shape and huffing and puffing, and they shouldn't really be doing any strenuous activity, and then they get into trouble like that. So it's a sport. It's like any activity that before you get into it, you ought to, you know, take your physical fitness and mental fitness in consideration and try to make it as high as you possibly can, right?
I know that over the years I taught, Greg, a lot of my students didn't realize how physically exacting diving is, especially if you're in a current.
True. I mean, you need to be prepared for the worst to, excel or expel some energy if you need to have it. Now, if you're doing it right, you'd be calm, relaxed, zen diving kind of thing. But, you know, things happen, environment, like you said, currents, that kind of stuff could create problems for you. So physical and mental fitness is just something that you should keep in mind if you want to be a better diver and be safe. All right, number two, appropriate training and education. This kind of just goes down in, you know, to making sure you're familiar with the type of diving you're about to participate in. So getting the proper instruction for whatever you plan to do. Well, you know, if you're going off on a boat dive and all your experience is, you know, shore diving with your instructor, then you got a little bit more training to do. Or if you've never been on a wreck in the ocean and all your training's been in freshwater, you know, quarries and things like that, you need to get proper instruction and make sure you know what you're getting yourself into when you jump in the ocean and all that kind of thing. Fairly common sense type stuff, but get the appropriate training and education for the type of diving you want to do. Number three, proper and well-maintained diving equipment. You know, this comes into play, especially around lobster season in Florida, or, you know, no matter where you're out on the West Coast, they have the same issues where people only dive one time out of the year, and it's during lobster season. And then they get in there and they realize their BC and reg has been sitting in storage for a year and hasn't been wet. They think, oh, it's been nice and packaged up real nice. But that, actually, the fact that it hasn't been used and just been sitting there is the worst kind of situation you can have for your gear many times. So always have it checked out by a reputable dive center and make sure you keep it maintained up to the manufacturer's specifications. All right, number four.
Lobster season is probably one of the worst, Greg, because not only has the equipment been sitting around doing nothing for a year, but the diver's been sitting around doing nothing
exactly.
for a year.
Yes, and that goes into point number four, safe and conservative diving habits. You know, dive within your limits and know what those limits are according to your, you know, dive instruction, certification, that kind of thing. And then number five is knowing the local hazards. So, you know, this goes back into not just knowing your limits and having the proper training, but orientation for the local type of diving you're getting ready to do. That could be when you're on vacation, you're going to some new Caribbean island, and you think, oh, this is going to be easy bathtub-type diving. I'm used to diving in the cold water with dry suits and 40, 50 pounds of weight in the lakes of Michigan, and this will be a cakewalk. And it very well may be. However, they have their own, local conditions and things like that. And the only way to get properly trained and make sure you know what's going on is by talking to one of the local instructors or dive guides and making sure you're educated properly. Follow those five little tips from Dan. You'll be a safer diver and much better for it. All right, coming up, our friends from Reef Safe join us.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving, flying, and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving, flying, and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why I wanted to tell you about Nanook Professional Protective Cases. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook cases generally cost less than similar products currently on the market. From an iPhone to a full set of dive gear, whatever you need to shield from the elements, Nanook Professional Protective Cases has the size, shape, and color for you. Go to Nanook.com. That's NANUK.com for Nanook Professional Protective Cases. The evolution of protection.
Kevin Keatley wasn't ready for me, or anything that followed. Chased by a police department led by his ex-girlfriend and hunted by brain fork-wielding Fijian assassins, it's everything he can do to keep from getting locked up, killed, or worse. Kava Screw is available as an ebook for $2.99 at Amazon.com. Kava Screw. Put a brain fork in him. He's done.
If you like the show you are listening to right now, you can listen to it and many more just like it on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Fishing, hunting, boating, and the rest of the great outdoors, 24/7, 365 on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Download the free Reno Viola's Outdoor Radio app or visit WRVORadio.com online to see the lineup and schedule. That's Reno Viola Outdoors Radio, and enjoy the great outdoors.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, Bubble Boy in the studio with me. Also, Casey, my good buddy and longtime dive instructor friend, is connected via the web. And if that weren't enough, Jerry the Diver Guy is with us. Now, we hope to be joined by our friend Dan from Tropical Seas, the makers of Reef Safe, here momentarily on the big show. They got some big news that we just shared up on Dive News You Can Use at scubaradio.com about some new packaging that they have just released for the new year. It's pretty cool stuff. And if that weren't enough, we also are hoping to connect with Abington from the Abington Watch Company, who happens to be hanging out in St. Croix today. Now, she's a pilot, flies all around the Caribbean for one of the airlines, and she's on a layover in St. Croix, of all places, and plans to do some diving, I believe, with our buddy Ed and Molly from St. Croix Blue Water Adventures, or Ultimate Blue Water Adventures over there on the island. I haven't been there before, and it's on my list. So Abington looks like she's going to actually jump in the water and give us a little report on what that is like. Casey, what about you? Have you been over to that part of the world? I've been over to St. Thomas, but I haven't been over to St. Croix to do any diving. Have you done
haven't been to St. Croix. Did St. Martin and St. Thomas, but not done St. Croix. But if it's anything like the other two, it's going to be crystal clear and beautiful.
Right. Well, that I think that is the case, and we can hopefully get a firsthand report from Abington and find out for ourselves. But I believe St. Croix is the smaller of the islands, if I'm...
yes.
Yeah, so it should be. I think it's a little bit more remote in that regard, so it probably makes the diving just that much better because it's less visited and that type of thing. I don't know. Well, we'll get the full we'll get the lowdown. I don't know. Jerry, is that on your list?
As divers, we're always looking for the next less visited.
Exactly. You know, something off the beaten path, so to speak.
Yes.
Yeah, Jerry, is that on your list, St. Croix? What do you think?
Yeah. Yes, I want to go. I've had several friends to go, and they absolutely love it down there.
Really? Okay. Well, once again, we hope to check in with Abington here momentarily, and we'll get a first-hand report, and she can rub it into the rest of us stuck back here in the studio in Florida. All right, more coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Well, like I always say, onward and downward.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg, the Dive Master. Bubble Boy in the studio, Casey and Jerry are online. All right, places we want to go. We just mentioned St. Croix. We are working on a little adventure down in Cuba with the dive god, Neil Watson.
I want to go.
Yes, yeah. It's interesting. There's there's definitely some cool things in the works that we hope to announce very, very soon on the show. But we'll have to, we're having to navigate the logistics and things because it is a new area that's being opened up to us folks in the U.S. a little bit here. And there's still some, things you have to navigate accordingly to make sure you don't get into
having issues. I thought with your power as Greg the Dive Master, you could just blow through the red tape.
Well, here's the thing. As media, which is, I use that in the loosest sense of the word. Here at Scuba Radio, I can go to Cuba. I've had that option to go to Cuba many, many years now. And I almost did it a few years ago, but I pulled back because I was like, look, if I go down to Cuba and see what they have to offer from a diving perspective, it'd be an amazing trip on a personal note. But then I'd talk about it on the show and like, hey, I got to do this and you guys can't go. I got to go because I came under a media umbrella. You may not have that option available to you. And I kind of felt bad about that. Believe it or not, the first time ever that I felt bad about maybe going on a dive trip and coming on the air and rubbing it into everybody listening.
That's why I like you, Greg. You are so, so caring and sincere.
I know that's hard to believe. Bubble Boy's looking at me like, okay, well, is there a joke coming here somewhere? No, I'm serious.
Where's the punchline?
Yeah, where is it? And God's honest truth is that's why I didn't want to do it. I rub it in enough on some of the cool places that we go that everybody could go to if they were to take that, make the effort on their own, pay the fees, whatever, and go. You could join us in the Maldives.
What
in
about
August.
Now with the new openness of U.S. and Cuba?
Well, that's the whole thing. That's why I'm looking into going.
All right.
Because it's definitely the restrictions have been loosened up quite a bit. It's just a matter of time probably before it's totally open. But they've just opened up a bunch of new flights, commercial flights down to Cuba, and it's becoming much, much more accessible for other reasons than media and that kind of thing.
Yeah, the interesting thing is we think it's like a brand new place, but Europeans have been going over there for years.
Well, exactly. And, what I'm looking to do with the Dive God is maybe go down there, scope out, some of the diving, but where to stay, work out the logistics, and then maybe see if we can put together an environmental trip down there. We'll go down there and do some research on lionfish or that kind of thing, possibly with the Guy Harvey folks. So we have, it's not really a media thing as much as it might be an opportunity for you to participate in a marine research effort in Cuba. That's what we're looking into. So we'll see how that evolves over time. That sound appealing to you there, Jerry? What do you think? Yeah?
I'm spot on. I'm packing my bags right now.
Are you? You're really in Cuba. I don't think you need to bring much. You just show
I
up
just
with some shorts and a t-shirt. Your mankini? Really?
Yeah. Flip-flops and a cigar.
I think they were outlawed in Cuba.
Yeah, you're going to be thrown in the slammer for that, for exposing.
Yeah, I guess I'll wear my khakis.
Yeah, wear something, for God's sakes. Yeah, I mean, Bill left already, and You know, it's bad enough when he's in the studio because yeah, he doesn't like to wear pants. That's just his thing. But yeah, we got that to delve into. So we'll look into that. Now, a few other things. You know, I'm in that mode right now where I'm planning different adventures for the entire year. You know, I already mentioned our Maldives trip with our friends from Explore Adventures. And I, like I said last week, they've already sold most of the spots. If you want to join us, though, I do believe there's still a little bit of space left. Join us on the brand spanking new Carpi Nova liveaboard there in the Maldives with Explore Adventures, 1-800-322-3577. August 13th, I believe, is the day that we're going for a week. But that's going to be an awesome trip. I'm really, really looking forward to that. However, I am putting some other things together or looking into some other suggestions on where to go via our friends that listen via Facebook and that kind of thing. Let's see. Christine sent me an email. She was listening to us, I guess, a week ago or there at the first of the year about just that topic. And she said, hey, you need to check into the Philippines. And I have been. That was another place that we've been looking into, Philippines and Palau. Have been on my list for the last couple years, and she suggested, let's see, the Thresher Sharks of Malapascu. Malapascua, maybe. I don't know. Who knows how you say
Mollusk.
It? Mollusk. That's what Bubble Boy says. Any of that sound familiar to you, Jerry, or Casey? No?
No,
I've heard there is an area where the Thresher Sharks congregate down there, but yeah, I the couldn't
yeah.
tell you where.
Yeah, well, yeah. Malapascua. So
perfect.
We'll go with that. But anyway, it's in the Philippines, and it's a spot where the Thresher Sharks, which have these really long dorsal fins and tail fins, are quite unique in the shark world and stuff. They're known to be very recluse. Single swimmers and hard to find out on dive. Sharks, period, are hard to find. But there's very...
I think their tails are long, Greg. I think their pectoral fin is normal.
But yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, they're fins. But they are so long, they like can snap them around or something. I don't know. They can maybe be used as a weapon or something, too. I don't know. But they're just wild-looking.
I have heard they'll back into you when frustrated.
Okay.
I think they use them to stun prey, don't they?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's one of those type of weird fish type critters that
sounds
do that
like
kind
my
of thing.
Ex-girlfriend.
Maybe she uses her back end to smack you around.
She would back into me all the time.
Yeah. Okay. Just leave.
That explains stuff.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. So anyway, these Thresher sharks. I mean, I've seen cool pictures of them, but they are hard to get pictures of because they're very shy animals generally. But there is this place in the Philippines where you can go, evidently, and go to a feeding station that they congregate at a certain time in the morning, I guess every day. So not feeding station, a cleaning station, like a manta. So these Thresher sharks in the area come into this area and get cleaned up by the, you know, little blemmy fish or whatever. Kind of like the way you'd hear about a manta cleaning station. I guess it's a Thresher shark cleaning station. But they have very,
cool.
very strict rules on how to approach the sharks because they're extremely shy. So they have a rope underwater set up. They have this, limited off pretty, you know, fairly restricted because they have found that the sharks, you know, are spooked off by strobes from cameras and things like that. And
they probably get upset if you cut in line for a cleaning.
Of course. They're like, hey, I was here first.
That's it.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It sounds really cool. The only thing is you got to get up like at the crack of like 3 a.m. or something because the time they go in for their cleaning is like 5:30 in the morning or at the crack of dawn or something. So you have to be in the water at night and that kind of would blow it for me. I mean, I'd really have to be super enthusiastic on wanting to get to see the Thresher sharks.
Well, I don't know. I give the sharks credit for wanting to look their best when the photography's taking place.
What do you mean? Oh, you'd want
they're
to
in there getting primped and prepped, and then by the time the sun comes up, they're ready for photographs.
Well, true. That could be. That would make sense, and that I see what you're saying there. But I don't know how I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, you know, I just don't like having to get up. I mean, you're so tired and everything.
Oh, come on. It's just a night dive with a lot of toothy critters. You've done it before.
All right. So you'd say just stay up all night and do it. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
To pull an all-nighter to go see the thresher sharks? Okay.
Pull maybe an all-nighter.
That I could go with something like that, possibly. That would make a little bit more sense, I guess, in that regard. I could see doing that. But I don't know. That's the one thing I hate, having to be at their schedule. Couldn't they just wait and, you know, do their cleaning and show up when the sun gets warm? You know, like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm an afternoon diver myself. I mean, I don't really like having to get up in the morning and do my dives. Is that just me?
No. Can you see anything at 5 a.m.?
Well, I mean, you will as soon as the sun comes up. Absolutely.
That's like an hour and a half later.
Well, in the Philippines, I think, you know.
In the Philippines, it might be a little different.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, it's just, but the thing is, like, even on the liveaboard trips, you know, they do these dawn dives as well. Usually on the Explorer Ventures crew, the last day of diving on a Friday morning, when they have to be back at dock by the afternoon, they'll do a dawn dive to fit in two dives that day before we head back to the dock. Usually is for their Caribbean boats. And, you know, you have to sit there and work through the dawn dive and then get up. And I just say, no, I'll sleep in.
Scuba Radio.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Have you been putting off your next dive because you can't locate your PADI certification card? Chances are it's been a while since your last dive and you need to refresh your scuba skills. When you take the all-new PADI Reactivate course, you can do both. Designed to give divers the confidence to get back in the water, PADI Reactivate will refresh the fundamental scuba skills you need to jump back in. Contact a PADI Dive Center, resort, or instructor and sign up for PADI Reactivate today.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive.
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
If you want to be a member of the Scuba Squad, you have to be smart.
I could be in the Scuba Squad?
Well, sure. All you have to do is work hard. And don't tell a soul about the Scuba Squad, because then everybody's going to want to join.
I woke up this morning with a big old smile. I've been thinking it might stay with me a while. Today is all about the things I love to do. One of them is spending time down in the blue. Gonna pack up all our scuba gear, find a spot where the water's clear. Call up all my diving friends, plan is getting wet, let's see who's in. Man, it feels so good to be alive. I just wanna die. I just wanna die.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. That is the Scuba Cowboy. He's going to join us here in a little bit and check in with us for his first appearance for 2016, I believe. He's been gigging all over Colorado. He's getting ready to hit the road as well and do some diving with us and traveling around. We're making some plans for some of the dive shows coming up. And, you know, and do some of these dives, whether it's with, you know, going for the Thresher Sharks in the Philippines or not. We're gonna be doing some stuff for sure. Hey, matter of fact, Beneath the Sea, the big dive show in New Jersey, New York area, this year happens to coincide with the 19-year anniversary of Scuba Radio. How about that? April Fool's Day. Is that Friday?
We're going to party big time.
We're going to party like it's 1997 is when we started, actually. 2 years before.
God, was it that long ago?
Yeah, it was. Can you believe it, Casey? Hard to believe, for
no,
sure.
I can't.
But yeah, that is the truth. 1997, April Fool's Day, is when we started broadcasting Scuba Radio, and that happens to coincide.
April Fool's Day, I can believe.
Yes, no fooling.
But
it'll be a good time. It's always fun to go up there to Jersey and do that dive show and, you know, share our mermaids, that kind of thing, with all the local divers up there and, you know, talk some shop and just kind of do a little networking and that kind of thing.
Are you going to be brave enough to get in the water up there, Greg?
I haven't yet, so why start now? You know, I love talking to the local divers up there. I really do.
All signs point to no.
Yeah, well, you know, I wouldn't say no. I would say, no, I haven't yet. I wouldn't write it off like I would never do it. But, you know, when you talk to the local divers up there in Jersey and they explain, you know, what the local diving's like, I don't know, when they say, you know, what do you see? And they say, well, discarded firearms, knives, you know, a body or two. Yeah, they're not really selling it well for me.
Lots
you know
of
what
tires.
I mean?
No. I tell you what, though, you can tell when they come down here because they're weighted about four times heavier than anybody else, and they tend to want to walk across the bottom.
Yes, exactly. They come down very weighted because you're used to diving with dry suits or really thick wetsuits up there because the water is consistently much colder.
A lot of people need to remember coming down from up north, take a buoyancy course. Learn how to float. We float down here.
Yeah. Well, there you can't talk to them. I mean, they're turning, yo, way, yeah, I got your weight right here.
Yeah, their idea of a weight belt is two cinder blocks tied to their feet.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so, you know, but I actually find that appealing. I mean, actually, all the divers that I've met up there are so cool. I mean, yeah, they might come off a little harsh sometimes with their delivery, but they are some of the most giving and generous divers and folks that I've ever had the opportunity to hang with. And, you know, it's impressive. And I will tell them, you know, I put them in the same category somewhat as the folks we meet when we head out to Chicago for the dive show there, that they are so dedicated to the activity that they're willing, you know, we take the warm water and the Florida weather that we have here down in Orlando for granted. We really do. We're spoiled rotten, and we sound like a bunch of wusses when we complain that the water temp is below 74 degrees. You hear what I'm saying? They're going, what? Oh, my God, you are an idiot. You know, that kind of thing. But they still,
yeah, we turn our heaters on when it gets to be 71.
Right.
Wear jackets.
And they're just like, you're such a wuss, man. That's like, that's bathtub water diving. What are you whining about? And trust me, I hear it, and I'm willing to just take it. Because that's just how, it's all about your perspective and what you're used to diving. So if you're used to diving, you know, water temps in the 50s and 60s, you know, it's no big deal. But if you're not, you're like, oh my God, what the hell's wrong with these people? And why would I possibly want to do it? But I will tell you that, you know, that extra hoop they have to jump through, that dedication to the sport, I think just makes them much better divers too. So when they come down to a place like Florida or dive in the Caribbean where the water's warm and clear and they don't have to wear a big thick wetsuit, I mean, it's almost disorienting to them from the standpoint that they're like, hey, what do you mean I don't need to take down all this weight, or I don't need this, or I don't need that? You know, I feel naked. And, you know, it takes a little getting used to for them. So you kind of got to get them a little bit of, I mean, a rope in that regard, don't you think, Casey? Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, I know when I dove off the Northwest, it was cold. And when I came over here, I go back there now to visit, and people go, you want to go diving? I go, no. No, no, it's cold.
No, I don't really agree with you.
If the cold water is tough enough.
Yeah.
If they're tough enough to dive up there, come on down. We'll give you a cushy place to dive.
Well, you know what? And I'm not saying, once again, that I wouldn't go out there and dive with them either. It's just really more of a timing issue. I go up there and I have to network and do all that kind of stuff. And, you know, they got some great stuff to dive and see off there, literally, like with some great wrecks and things. So we kid. So keep the hate email down to a minimum this week, okay? All you cold water divers, I still respect you immensely. Way better than us. So, you know, take it for what it's worth. All right, hour two is on deck. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.